and state media concepts social media podcast. Time to hashtag everything. We talk about all the fun, crazy stories on social media. From Instagram to Facebook, Twitter to Tumblr, or probably even Friendster. Join us each week as we explore the quirky side of social media. It's the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast.
It's simple, such a sad song. The one that we rely on.
Hello, and welcome to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast, brought to you by GSMC Podcast Network. I'm your host, Stacey. And even though I do host the Health and Wellness Podcast, and this is somewhat of a health and wellness topic, we're talking about it on social media because the response was a bit strong on social media, and social media was where I first heard of it, which is that new medical research suggests that no amount of alcohol is safe. Previously, there were numerous studies that suggested, you know, quote unquote, moderate alcohol consumption is safe. So that's like, I think one drink for a woman a day and two for a man. But that's, you know, not the same amount. It depends on the alcohol. So the amount of wine that is considered one drink is not the same as the amount of like tequila that is considered one drink. But now new research, which was an analysis of previous studies. So this is from, I think, 700 previous studies they went through and analyzed to get this data. And they found that, A, the biggest drinkers are in European countries, which is kind of surprising, but then it also isn't surprising. I was like, if it's not Europe, I feel it would have to be like somewhere around Korea and Japan. I think Korea has the highest like per capita alcohol consumption, but overall the biggest drinkers are somehow in European countries. But then they also did find that drinking alcoholic beverages is linked to something like 2.8 million deaths each year. And this doesn't sound like a lot, just worldwide, 2.8 million out of however many billion. But they found, specifically looking, you know, at drinkers, the amount that the drinking causes the death versus, you know, the benefits it supposedly gives, it's possibly not worth it. So they concluded actually that any health benefits of drinking were outweighed by their associated risk. They also consider alcohol to be a colossal global health issue. So it is evidently found that the chemical that shows up in beer, wine, and hard liquor is associated with nearly 1 in 10 deaths in people from ages 15 to 49. I'm not quite sure how they got to that age range of 15 to 49. I mean, I know certainly other countries probably have different drinking ages, but 15 still seems a bit young, and 49 seems not nearly like, I don't know why we don't go above age 50 in this study, but it is evidently the leading risk factor for people in that age range is drinking. So the main causes for the alcohol-related deaths in the 15 to 49 age group were tuberculosis, road injuries, and self-harm. It was very unclear from the little bit I saw of this how those exactly tie into alcohol. I can kind of get road injuries of like, you know, drunk driving, and I can kind of get self-harm of like, you know, suicidal thoughts or something. I'm not quite sure how tuberculosis ties into alcohol, but then they did find that for people who are actually over 50, the leading alcohol-related cause of death was cancer, which I don't quite know exactly how the cancer ties in. I have heard that in previous medical studies about, you know, alcohol, certain things in alcohol possibly being cancerous, especially the more like, this is not a type of alcohol we've been drinking for centuries, but we're now making it with chemicals because we can. I'm like, yeah, but, so, like, I remember when my friends back in college would take me out drinking, I'm very picky, which is partly why I don't drink ever, because I don't like the taste, and I just never was able to get past the taste really enough to like get to any of the sort of feel good things that people drink for. I don't like coffee either, but I can at least, you know, drink coffee, particularly if it's like got a lot of sugar and chocolate syrup or whatever, if I'm tired because I want the caffeine. But I didn't quite understand why you would want to. I was like, so you can feel woozy and not in control of your faculties, and or, again, this was college, not remember anything the next day. And I'm like, but why? And also this tastes gross, so no. But the one thing they did manage to get me to drink when the one time we went bar hopping for a friend's 21st birthday was a Midori Sour. And I was like, okay, it's sweet, so I'll go with that. But then someone at some bar pointed out that it looked like I was drinking like a highlighter or a glow stick. And I'm like, no, wait, yeah. How do they do that? Is that natural? What am I drinking in this cup? Let's not do this anymore. So the one thing that I actually was like, taste-wise, I can get past. And then it's like, yeah, but it's glowing. Oh, yeah. So it's not clear what specifically about alcohol and cancer they were talking to, but that is the leading alcohol-related death for people over the age of 50. And this study did find, as numerous medical studies have, that there is some health benefits, sort of. So this one found that alcohol does offer some protection against coronary artery disease in women, but found that the strong association between alcohol consumption and the risk of cancer, injuries, and infectious diseases offsets that, to the point that, again, they come up with the idea that no amount of alcohol is safe. The so-called benefits are completely outweighed by the dangers of it. And in April, another large analysis that looked at multiple different studies had found some reduction in heart attacks among drinkers, but they concluded that alcohol use actually increased the risk of premature death from several other ailments. So people on social media were a bit like, A, this is a medical research thing, and often medical research, you know, in a month it'll be like, oh, actually researchers are finding totally opposite of that thing they totally just claimed. Obviously not the same researchers, but different researchers. So a lot of people are like, yeah, I'm just gonna, you know, sit back and drink a beer while I wait for the study that comes out that, you know, completely counterclaims this. But then other people really did get into a discussion about the advertising of alcohol, because the whole, you know, with moderation thing especially has become popular with alcohol companies in the past few years, because that's a sort of way to go against negative claims of, oh yeah, people get drunk and then do terrible things. It's like, yeah, but if they drink in moderation, they don't. And I'm like, I mean, yeah, hopefully technically that's true. But then someone put up a gif of, and I haven't seen this commercial, so I didn't listen with the sound. I'm not sure what's going on. There's something about a princess and beer, and the idea that, you know, perhaps this is somewhat not directly, but still doing it towards children, which is, of course, not a good thing. So people were very much one way or the other. They definitely had multiple opinions on this on social media. There was still a lot of, oh, well, we'll just have to wait and see, because, again, not definite medical diagnosis that alcohol is terrible. And since, especially, you know, you've been hearing for many, many years now that, oh, moderate alcohol consumption can actually possibly have health benefits, particularly for like red wine, I think is the one that a lot of things, like if you're going to drink red wine, because something about the health, and you don't get it with grape juice, but you do get it with red wine. So that's about the only one that's ever really been suggested. But now coming out that no alcohol whatsoever, to have a complete blanket of don't, people are definitely like, I'm not sure about that. So it'll be interesting to see whether future studies do support this or disprove it. But people were definitely like, what now? On social media? Interesting. So we're going to take a short break. Stay tuned.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's GSMCpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit GSMCpodcast.com for more info.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. It has come out now, despite earlier reports, including from Elon Musk himself, that Tesla actually will not be going private. This, on the one hand, feels like a well dub, and on the other hand, it's like, what is this soap opera that's going on with Tesla? I do not understand. I only even basically have a basic understanding of Tesla, something about electric cars and supposedly thing of the future and shooting cars off into space and Elon Musk is maybe Tony Stark and whatever. But so he had announced previously that he was thinking of taking Tesla private at, I think it was $420 a share or something like that, and that he had secured funding for this. But now it's coming out that supposedly, under the advisement of the board, he has decided actually not to go private and that Tesla will remain public. But this feels a bit, I heard sort of conflicting things. One was that under the advisement of the board, he decided not to go private. The other was that he announced it to the board, oh, actually, I've decided not to go private because of what shareholders have said. So he himself stated that given the feedback I've received, it's apparent that most of Tesla's existing shareholders believe we are better off as a public company, and that although the majority of shareholders I spoke to said they would remain with Tesla if we went private, the sentiment is in a nutshell was, please don't do this. I don't fully understand finance and economics and the stock market and how you can have, my understanding with public and private was, you know, one person owned it or a very small group owned it. You couldn't like trade these shares. But then if you went public, you could trade the shares. And then I didn't even know you could go back to being private from being public without, you know, buying all those shares back. And so I'm a little confused on how you can go from being a public company to a private company while still having like a large number of shareholders. It's like they own shares but can't sell them to anyone, or I don't know, completely over my head. But I can understand why the shareholders were just like, yeah, don't. This became, it stirred up a lot of buzz with people talking about it. One, for, you know, whether or not he actually did have the funding to A, take the company private period, and B, to do it at the number he said he would. And he, it's now suggested that he might be under investigation by the SEC for saying he had secured funding without actually securing that funding. So then there's a lot of like, so why did you say that? And isn't that lying to your shareholders and all of that wonderful sort of, I don't think that would technically be insider trading, but, you know, things that the SEC, I'm sure, does not approve of. So there was a whole drama about that. And now that he's decided to keep it public, they're clearly trying to play it off as a, oh, well, we looked at, and this is what the board and or shareholders want. But there is some speculation amongst people that, oh, so actually, yeah, he just totally didn't have that funding and couldn't get that funding because Tesla's evidently been losing a lot of money or has never actually made money and has always been a sort of debt business. Again, I don't understand the stock market. I've heard coworkers talk about this, and I'm just like, yeah, sure. So, what? I've seen Teslas, actually. I've seen a couple of Tesla cars, I think. Certainly, they look like they have a T on the front of them, and I'd never seen them before. And I asked my, I was like, what is that? Is that a Tesla? And they're like, yeah, I think so. I saw one that was this really pretty, like, light teal color, and I was like, I actually kind of like that. That's a nice looking, it's a SUV crossover. I also don't really know cars, but the color was pretty, and I was like, I kind of want, except A, totally couldn't afford, and B, I'm starting to wonder how, what happens if you do actually have, like, a mechanical problem. Since this is, you know, a very new car company and the only of its kind, how easy is it to, like, find a mechanic to deal with this, to deal with any sort of mechanical thing? Would you have to know how to do it yourself? Do you have to go specifically, like, back to your Tesla dealer? And will that be the case for many years, where only people at the Tesla dealer, are there Tesla dealers? Or do you just order this online? And it's starting to feel now, especially with this drama of, oh, we're going private. Oh, actually, no, we're not. It's starting to feel a bit like Tesla might become its own version of the DeLorean, which, I kid you not, I so thought was a made-up car for years and years and years. I saw Back to the Future the first time when I was maybe about 12 or 13 or so, and I did not know that the DeLorean was actually a real car till I was in, like, my mid-early 20s, and it was just like, I'm sorry, what? That was a real thing? I thought, like, the ones I saw on the internet were just people who were really Uber fans and made their own. You could actually buy a DeLorean? I've never heard of this. Well, that was because it was owned by, like, one man, and he made his own, and then he went out of business, and there's a whole long drama about that. But it's just like Tesla's starting to feel that sort of, oh, there were only a few made, and in 20 years or so, you'll have a hard time buying them on, like, older car websites, and it'll, especially if it gets put in a movie, it'll be a fan thing that only fans really do, and most people probably don't really drive this just as a car. It's really starting to feel that sort of singular. So it'll be interesting to see how Tesla goes forward. I kind of don't want Tesla to fold just because you chose the name Tesla. I was like, but there's a whole history behind that and that person, and oh, really? But on the other hand, this sounds, I won't say problematic, and again, I don't know enough about business to know whether or not it'd be problematic. Certainly drama-filled. This sounds like a long drama thing, and if ever we get to a, aha, so this was the story of Tesla, and it either became a success or completely folded, I can totally see that there would be a movie planned around all the drama that occurs with this, because it's just a drama-filled story with, like, big players, not like a small drama, oh, this is rather intimate thing playing out, but it's like, again, Tesla and Musk owns also, Musk also owns SpaceX, and there's the whole thing about, you know, going off to Mars, and so clearly a big personality amongst the, like, tech community and people who pay attention to the tech community and people who pay attention to different things in the tech market. We'll go with market. To see, you know, also whether or not that one will play out, although that one seems kind of better because NASA's sort of pulled back, and so someone still has to go to space because reasons. So it's like, okay, that one at least is doing something Tesla itself doesn't necessarily seem to, it's certainly still not, I don't think, making money. I think it's still losing money at this point, though again, I am not the financial person to talk to about that. We did talk about few weeks ago how Musk had offered, you know, to send engineers to Thailand to help with the boys in the cave, and there was a thing about, like, a small boy-sized submarine which was turned down as politely, I think, as the people in charge of that rescue mission could do, while being like, yeah, we've got, you know, we've actually have to figure out how to save these boys, and that the submarine, it sounds like from what they said, was not really a viable plan for them at all, and that perhaps they said Musk didn't quite understand the situation with what he was suggesting, and he seemed to react to that statement that perhaps he didn't understand it a bit sensitively, maybe. But yeah, not sure what to come of this. It'll be interesting to see if A, he does actually face an investigation by the SEC for saying you have secured funding when you haven't. I don't quite know what you were allowed to say and not say, because I still don't quite understand insider trading and people who do, who get charged with insider trading, because some of those I'm like, well, wouldn't you naturally just tell your family members about tips? And how and where do you draw the line of, oh, I heard from so-and-so, from so-and-so, versus, oh, this is insider trading, that's not fair. I don't know. Fully on in that, the most I know about the stock market is, like, I've seen trading places 20 times. That is, like, that's, like, the extent of my stock market knowledge. Buy, buy, sell, sell. Pork bellies and frozen orange juice. So we're going to take another short break. Stay tuned.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Welcome back to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. Our final story, like the end of our previous story, also somewhat influenced by movies from the 80s. So whereas I mentioned, pretty much all my knowledge of the stock market is solely from trading places, so I'm sure it's completely out of date by now. This story is inspired by Top Gun, which I have seen a couple of times, and I actually quite like trading places, but with Top Gun, I'm just like, why does everyone talk about this? Save for fine, yes, you do look pretty cool with your sunglasses, but other than that, and I'm sad when what happens to Goose, but other than that, I'm just like, why was this? I don't understand, and does anything really happen other than to Goose in this movie? But anyways, but this has made history. I'm sure it's made history in a number of ways, but made history in Japan, in that Japan now has its first female fighter pilot, Lieutenant Misa Matsushima, who was, she says, inspired by Top Gun. So this is for a number of reasons. Japan, their military is still very heavily male. It's only, I believe, 6% female, whereas comparatively, the U.S. is about 16% female military-wise. That's still, you know, both of those heavily male compared to the actual percentage of women in the general population. But Japan is still only recently opening up certain positions to women. So, for example, they were not even allowed to be fighter pilots until, I believe, 2015. And so prior to that, the lieutenant had actually planned to be a transport plane pilot or something. She wanted to be some sort of pilot. But because women were barred from fighter and reconnaissance aircraft until 2015, she wasn't planning at the time to be a fighter pilot, even though she had been so inspired by Top Gun. But this is coming as Japan is sort of trying to open up more to have more women in the military. And this is actually coming at a time where Japan's doing a number of things, either not necessarily trying to add women in, but certainly dealing with the issue of women in the workplace, and how do we treat women in the workplace, and how do we encourage women in the workplace. So in 2017, Japan fell from rank 111 to 114 out of a total of 144 countries in gender equality. So if you, to make that a little clearer, out of 144 countries which had been ranked for their policies concerning gender equality, Japan had ranked 111 and then fell to 114, which, again, this is Japan. It's not, you know, it's a very much developed country, it ranks high on a number of sort of developed or quote unquote civilized rankings, but to be rather low in gender equality when you are considered such a first world country is a bit surprising. But Japan has, their culture is a bit more, we'll go with conservative. And they did just face a huge backlash a few months ago, where it came out that one of their main medical universities, Tokyo Medical University, had actually, for more than a decade, lowered women's entrance exam scores so as to not have to let in as many women into the college to keep most of their students being men, because they were afraid that... The reason I read was that they were afraid that if women got into the college and came and studied to become doctors, then once they married and had kids, they'd leave and stop becoming doctors. And so it's like a sort of, I guess, in their thought process, it was like a waste of resources. Of those resources could have gone to a guy who would stay being a doctor, even though when he has kids, as opposed to a woman who we assume will naturally leave. And I'm just like, okay, but I mean, rather than that, couldn't you think about, like, you know, having a system in place so that women with children have, like, childcare so they can continue to work? That's a whole nother social issue in multiple countries, including the U.S., and we won't go into that. But it is interesting to see, you know, how this is all sort of playing out right now in Japan, a number of these things coming up around the same time. This comes up just because this is when she happened to graduate. It was her and five other all-male, I'm going to go with classmates. I don't think that's the actual term, but they all graduated to fighter pilot. She still won't actually be able to, like, fly fighter pilot missions for another 6 months or so because she still has to get extra training, but she is now considered the first female fighter pilot in Japan. So it'll be interesting to see if this marks huge changes as Japan is actually doing a broad push to get more women into the military and hopefully to just improve gender equality overall, hopefully to not be ranked so low in that ranking in future years. So, interesting stories all around. Thank you for listening to the GSMC Social Media News Podcast. We will see you next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Social Media Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.